Hello, my name is Peshi Neuberger. Welcome to Torati Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Kuf Yud Zayin, 117. We continue our study of Hallel HaMitzri, the Egyptian Hallel, with the shortest Perek in all of Tanakh. The upside of that is that we really get to learn the whole Perek, all two psukim of it. If you are of my generation, you may remember this as one of the hit songs from the inaugural record album of the Rabbi's Sons, circa 1968. Hallelu at Hashem kol goyim, shabchuhu kol ha'umim. Praise Hashem, all nations, praise Him, all countries. Ki gavar alinu chazdo, ve'emet Hashem le'olam. Because His kindness has overwhelmed us and the truth of Hashem is eternal. Halleluka, praise Hashem. Let's first see how the master commentator on biblical language, Rav Hirsch, distinguishes between the parallel words used for praise, Hallelu and Shabbachu. Reminiscent of Malbim on the first parak of Hallel, where he ascribes to Hallel praise, our appreciation of the big God, all-powerful, yet distant and incomprehensible, and to Bracha, blessing, our awareness of the close God, who maintains a meaningful presence in our lives, Rav Hirsch makes a similar distinction between these two types of praise, Shevach and Hallel. Hallel, he says, denotes the praise of someone's great acts, which don't necessarily have anything to do with me. Shevach, on the other hand, acknowledges that someone has performed significant acts which have value for me. In distinguishing between Goyim and Le'umim, and Umim, who make up the non-Jewish world, he teaches that umim are nationalities who share a common ancestor or descent, whereas goyim refers to separate political entities or countries. We turn to both and ask them to praise Hashem, the goyim to praise the incredible feats that God has performed, and the umim to praise, in the words of Rav Hirsch, Hashem's guidance of all peoples, which allows every tribe of mankind to prosper according to its particular needs. Why should they praise Hashem? Ki gavar aleinu chazdo, because He has overwhelmed all of us, Jews and non-Jews alike, with kindness, and we all recognize His eternal truth, for He has kept His promise. This may be the most straightforward way of reading the pasuk, but it is not the most accepted. Let's turn to Radak. Radak finds great significance in the brevity of this perek. It is, he believes, a psalm for the days of Mashiach, when life will be uncomplicated. The symbolism of having just two psukim is that the people of the world will be on two sides. On the one hand, there will be the Jewish people who will observe the entirety of Torah, and on the other, non-Jews who will be thoroughly committed to the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, the seven Noahide laws. All will be united in their recognition of the truth of one God. But when it comes to the second pasuk, Radak, which is the more traditional reading, is different than Rav Hirsch. Ki gavar aleinu chazdo, for His kindness has overwhelmed us. Why should you nations praise us? Because His kindness has overwhelmed us, the Jewish people. And all the promises you were sure He would never keep, as our exile became more and more protracted, have actually come true. So now you can acknowledge, Emet Hashem le'olam. Hashem's truth is eternal. He keeps His promises. The Gemara is troubled by this proclamation. Why in heaven's name should the nations of the world praise Hashem because His kindness has overwhelmed us, the Jewish people? The Chafetz Chaim illustrates a possible answer with the following parable. There was once a king who sent his son, the heir to the throne, to traverse the kingdom incognito and get a sense of public opinion. Are his subjects pleased with his rule or not? Along his travels, the prince arrived in a small village where he was attacked by some local farmers who threw stones at him. They cursed him and they generally humiliated him. Luckily, though, the village elder recognized the prince and saved him from the unruly gang. When the king announced the verdict and the punishments of the attackers, they thanked God that the elder had saved the prince from their hands in the nick of time, because had they killed him, they would never have gotten off with so easy a punishment. The analogy is obvious. the nations of the world will praise Hashem for acting kindly with the Jewish people and for swooping in to save them before they could see all their anti-Semitic schemes to fruition and destroy the Jewish people, when no punishment would have been enough for them. So indeed, his overwhelming kindness to us is cause for them to praise him. Rav Yitzchak Volozhiner offered a clever answer to our question, which dovetails with this one. The nations who plot against us often know better than we do how much kindness Hashem has extended to us, because we are unaware of all the hidden redemptions, the deadly anti-Semitic plots that Hashem sabotages. They, therefore, can praise him for bringing about so many salvations, which go unnoticed by us. Whenever I come across this interpretation, I remember a story which took place at Kibbutz Sufah in 2014 during the Gaza War. A group of residents from Bnei Brak were preparing for a Shemitah sabbatical year, so they needed to harvest 2 years' worth of wheat for the baking of matzahs. At Kibbutz Sufah, right next to the Gaza border, they found a perfect field which satisfied all the halachic requirements and had 2,000 acres of green wheat, which was just right for their needs. The Gaza air campaign was already underway, and the harvesters saw smoke clouds over Gaza. They heard sirens as they were busy gathering and transferring the wheat to trucks and moving them towards the plants where they were going to clean the wheat and take tithes from it, take mas there. 2 days later, 13 terrorists from Gaza came out of a tunnel which opened into the fields near Sufah. They had been planning a really big attack and had counted on hiding in the giant wheat field, which the matzah makers had just chopped down entirely. The terrorists could not understand how their camouflage had disappeared. The empty field enabled the military observers to easily spot and identify the terrorists, and they opened fire on them. Many Jewish lives were saved that day, a redemption that could easily never have come to our attention, but which stuns the would-be perpetrators whose plans were thwarted by divine intervention. Let's turn for a moment to Malbim. True to his talent of looking at the text with fresh eyes and seeing things that have gone unnoticed, Malbim points out that the second pasuk harks back to the beginning of Mizmor Kuf Tedvav 115, where we turned to Hashem and beseeched him to be concerned about his reputation. Lo lanu, lo lanu, ki l'shimcha ten kavod. Give honor to your name, al chazdecha, al amitecha. Be concerned about your reputation for kindness and for truth. Now, in Perek Kuf Yud Zayin, when we speak of the days of Mashiach, the time when Hashem's name is cleared, we go back to those two words, ki gavar aleinu chazdo, his kindness has overwhelmed us, no need to worry about his reputation in that regard, and the emet Hashem le'olam, it is clear that God's truth is eternal. Again, no need to worry about the truth part of his reputation. There is a Talmudic passage which also connects this perek to parts of Hallel that have preceded it. In order to appreciate that Gemara, we have to recall a story which appears early in Sefer Daniel, the book of Daniel. When Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, invaded Jerusalem during the period of the destruction of the temple, he captured 4 young members of the Jewish royal family, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He was very taken with them and arranged for them to be raised to high positions in the royal court. Despite their growing stature, though, they remained true to their religion and kept the laws of Kashrus and many other laws of Torah, all the laws of Torah. Increasingly, Nebuchadnezzar became full of himself and his power and had a huge idol fashioned from the gold that he had stolen from Yerushalayim placed in an open courtyard. He assembled all his dignitaries and courtiers and insisted that every one of them bow to that idol or be burned to death in a fiery furnace. All did, except for 3, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who remained standing. When the king confronted them, they spoke truth to power and were adamant that there was only one God and it was only he that they would worship. Nebuchadnezzar was furious and ordered them to be thrown into the furnace. The 3 Jews were seized and, in fact, thrown into that fiery furnace. But suddenly, a great miracle occurred. The angel Gabriel came down from heaven to protect the three Jews from the flames. On the outside, the heat of the furnace was so intense that the people who had thrown them in were burned to death on the spot. But the representatives of the various nations who witnessed this great miracle were blown away. Not even one hair of the three pious Jews was singed. This made an unforgettable impression on the Jews themselves, and they remained faithful to their religion, even in the idol-worshipping land of Babylon. Back to the Gemara, which recounts the prayers of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah throughout this experience. Yiridatan, on their way down, they said, first, Lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu, back to Perek Kuf Tedvav, 1:15. Not for our sake, Hashem, not for our sake, said Hananiah. Ki l'shimcha tein kavod, amar Mishael. But rather, give glory to your own name, said Mishael. Al chazdechava ala mitecha. To worry about the reputation of your kindness and your truth, said Azariah. Lama yomru hagoyim ayena elokehem. Why should the non-Jews say, where is their God now? Said all of them in unison. Aliyatan mikivshan ha'ish. But on their way up from the fiery furnace, they said, Hallelujah Hashem kol goyim. Praise Hashem, all nations, said Hananiah. Shabchuhu kol ha'umim. Praise Him, all nationalities, said Mishael. Ki gavar aleinu chazdo, for His kindness has overwhelmed us, said Azariah. Ve'emet Hashem la'olam haleluka. And the truth of Hashem is forever. Praise God. This kind of gives us a glimpse of how Hallel was said in real time, going from the potentially devastating tzara to the light of salvation. This can inform how we say our own Hallel and maintain a sense of hopefulness, particularly when our personal redemption still eludes us. Next time, we will conclude our study of Hallel with its finale, Perek Kuf Yud Chet, 1:18. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Bat Tzvi Yosef.